Good morning, everyone. Thankful that I'm speaking in the morning. That saves the stumbling on which it's morning or afternoon, at least. It's certainly nice to be able to have Eugene and Combined here today. We appreciate you hosting us and having us here today. What a wonderful blessing it is to be together. I want to say thank you very much for that special music. Special music adds so much to the feast days. And we really appreciate that, and thank you very much. Here we are on the Feast of Trumpets 2023. I'm going to take a couple minutes and go back over a couple of things that Mr. Light talked about. But this day pictures an incredible turning point in world history. A change from the time of man, of darkness, pain, suffering, that's been under Satan's rule, to the rule of Jesus Christ, to the time when God introduces his kingdom. This is truly a day of action. Consider for a moment the list of things that happened during the fulfillment of this day. There's so many aspects to consider and learn from on this day. With the blast of the seventh trumpet, we see earthquakes. We see signs in heaven. We find wars. We have a resurrection. There's a wedding. And we find that there's a new king come riding on a white horse. This is just a short list of the many examples and the events that happen on this day. It's a great day for change and direction for all of mankind. This year is the 90th anniversary of when Mr. Armstrong started this phase of God's work. 90 years ago, he was traveling on the roads. Some of those roads were just a few blocks that direction that were in his autobiography that he traveled. But he established 90 years ago the church in Eugene in 1933. That was the year that he refused his check from the Oregon Council, the Oregon Conference of the Church of God, and stepped out in a new direction. When you look back over Mr. Armstrong's story, we can see that he was being guided and directed in the paths that he chose and the directions that he went. God was working with him. Most of us who've been around a few years can also go back and look at our lives and see that God's been working with us. God was guiding and directing the directions that we went. He was being merciful and kind and gentle in guiding us. But through these experiences, through God working with us, we learn to put our trust in him. We learn to rely on him, realizing that he's absolutely faithful in his promises. As we look back at the last 90 years of the local church history, we see that the majority of the buildings, the locations, the landmarks have all changed considerably. The Alvador School is no longer there. Gene's schoolhouse is gone. And as Mr. Light was mentioning, Furbute School spends most of its time at the bottom of Fern Ridge Reservoir. There's a time in the winter when they drain it, and you can see the foundation. It's been a few years since I've been there at the right time to see it, but the foundation's still there, but that's about all that's left. The site for the radio station, KRE, a few years ago was leveled, and now it's a Department of Transportation facility. But you take a look at all the physical things, and they're all changing. They're all going away. Please turn with me first to 1 John 2 today. Let's take a look in a moment, and just take a look and consider for a moment something that should be continually part of our thoughts as we consider our lives and the paths that we're taking and what God's purpose is. 1 John 2, we'll read verses 15 through 17. 1 John 2 and verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, and he who does the will of God abides forever. Those physical things are temporary. They don't last very long. In our physical lives, we tend to put a lot of emphasis on the physical things that we do and have and see. But these things don't last. Even over the last 90 years of history, what endures? What endures from what Mr. Armstrong started 90 years ago? It's the foundation of God's Word. It's the laws and the commandments that he reestablished and which we are carrying on today. The physical is passing away, but the spiritual endures forever. Satan has a vast array of tools that he uses to draw us away from God, to keep our focus away from God and his way of life. We can't let our attention be distracted from fulfilling God's purpose in our lives. Our thoughts, what we read, what we watch, what we spend our time on, needs to be focused on God and his word. Please now turn with me to Revelation 19. Let's consider something we should be focusing on in our lives. We're preparing for the return of Jesus Christ to assume his rightful place as ruler of this earth, to start a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. Revelation 19, we're going to pick this up in verse 1. Revelation 19, verse 1. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to our Lord, the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they say, Alleluia. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. This is a look at the wife, the bride of Christ. That is the church, which has made herself ready. We are now preparing to be the bride of Jesus Christ. Are we busy in our lives preparing for this event? God is preparing. Jesus Christ is preparing. Are we preparing? For the remainder of the time today, in this message, let's look at preparing the bride. This day of trumpets is a day of so many wonderful events. All of them should be considered. Many of them take preparation. Our time of preparation is now. We look back over 2,000 years of history since the church was established. We look back over 90 years since this current era of the church was established. We look back over however many years we have been in the church. What have we done with those years? In the last couple years, 60 years was my 60th feast last year, I started thinking about, what have I done with 60 years? I'm still asking myself that question. What am I doing with the time that I've been given? Are we growing, overcoming, changing? Are we keeping ourselves unspotted from this world? I'm amazed at how fast the years go by. Are we using the gift of time that God has provided for us to prepare to be the bride of Jesus Christ, to develop a relationship with God, to maintain that relationship with Him. Our Christian walk, our purpose is to submit to God so that we can be the bride of Jesus Christ, so that we can be part of God's family. The Bible is full of instruction from beginning to end on preparing our lives to be servants in God's kingdom. We need to be living lives that reflect that of Jesus Christ, one of being a servant. Let's continue on in verse 8 here. And it says, "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." So what are the righteous acts of the saints? We are reminded back in the book of Isaiah in chapter 64 and verse 6 where it says, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness like filthy rags." We see that our work, our righteousness, is of little value. We need God's righteousness. The righteousness of God requires us to repent, to have God's forgiveness, to overcome and continue overcoming, and to be growing spiritually. In the messages to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, we see the instruction to prepare the bride, to hold fast to what we have, and to overcome. Getting ready, being prepared, is the focus of the instructions in Revelation 2 and 3. God's word is under attack today. As society gets further from God and from His way of life, it actually is beginning to criticize those who put their trust and their faith in God. They don't know what they're doing. They're being blinded by the God of this world. But we need to be aware of that criticism. Be aware that we need to double our efforts to draw close and stay close to God. I want to look at a few verses in the book of Philippians as we consider what we can accomplish of value. It's not us, but it's God working in us. We need His help to produce His righteousness in our lives, to be called God, good and righteous servants. Let's go to Philippians 2. We're going to pick up the instructions in verse 12 of Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and verse 12 through 16. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Hold fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." The bride is to be prepared for the wedding. We are to work out our own salvation. Jesus Christ is our Savior. We can't save ourselves. We need to commit our lives to God. We need to have Him working in and through us. We become His servants. We obey Him, and we trust in Him. We need to become at one with God. It's a continuous process of seeking God, of having Him work in us and through us. We need to continually be seeking that relationship. We're going to be the bride of Christ. That marriage commitment requires two individuals to come together as one, in loving harmony with each other. That's why Ephesians 5 discusses the roles of the husband and the wife in marriage and how Jesus Christ set the example for us to follow in our individual lives. That's just a couple of pages back from where we're at. So let's look at Ephesians 5 and read picking up in verse 22. Ephesians 5 and verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the word, water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to the wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. God has blessed us with a physical example of marriage to teach us how proper government should work. It teaches us how to submit to authority. It teaches us also how to oversee others properly. Both of these are done with love and respect. We have to learn that pride doesn't have a place in a healthy relationship. Pride leads us to not wanting to submit. But God wants us to work on learning to submit in our lives, being prepared to be his bride. Pride can lead us to use authority in the wrong way, to rule over and abuse others. We need to learn to both use authority and submission in a godly manner. We need to have concern for our mates and practice that godly love in our lives. Love for our family and love for God's family. Learning these things, practicing these things in our lives today, in our marriages, our families, our relationships, teach us important lessons in preparing to be that bride of Jesus Christ. In verse 27, it refers to the church being without spot or blemish, tying back to those white linens of righteousness that we are to wear. Today we see that authority is being disrespected. There's not respect for teachers, for police, for government officials. There's very little respect for anyone who's in charge of anything nowadays. So we see a breakdown in relationships. This is the sign of the end that was talking about in 2 Timothy 3. We need to understand that authority comes from God. Authority is designed to be for the good of everyone. Often those in charge don't use authority properly, but we need to be patient, recognizing that God is working out his purpose. We need to trust in God. Remember patience. Sometimes it's hard to remember that. It's one of those traits that we need to be developing in our lives. And we'll go back to Philippians once again. We're going to go to chapter 3 here now. We face many trials, many struggles in our physical lives. Paul also faced a lot of difficulties throughout his life. We were all warned that this way of life would not be easy. But what was Paul's mindset in the face of his trials? What should our mindset be? Philippians 3, we'll pick it up in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. It was not Paul's righteousness that was any value, but it was the righteousness which comes from faith in God. We find that faith is an important aspect of our righteousness. Faith, that complete trust and confidence in God, in his word, in his way of life, in his kingdom, it's tied to our righteousness. These 90 years of being taught about God and his way that was restored by Mr. Armstrong, those years of keeping the Sabbaths and keeping the feasts, watching as God works with us, watching as he guides us through trials and troubles and all that we face, builds that absolute trust in God, that faith that we need to have. Faith is important in our spiritual lives. Why did Christ ask in Luke 18:8 if he would really find faith when he returns? Because it was such an important factor. It's being put under so much stress today. The faith which pleases God is a gift that comes from him. We need to be asking God for faith on a daily basis. It's not just our faith in him, but his faith that he places within us. Faithfulness is a gift from God. It's part of the fruit that comes from God and his spirit dwelling within us. Continuing in Philippians 3 here in verse 12. Which I already read verse 12. But as he said, we must press on. We can't be letting up. We have to press on to the goal. We've known what we have to do. We have the work to do. And it's verse 13, it says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. As we grow older, as we face increased persecution, as the world around us speeds in an opposite direction away from God and his ways, we need to keep our sights firmly fixed on our goal, on the return of Jesus Christ, on him establishing his kingdom, and on the wedding. We can't let our thoughts and attitudes slip. We can't let bitterness or confusion get a hold of us. We need to focus on seeking and using God's love and his support. In Revelation 19, we're reminded that we're looking to be clothed in righteousness. Let's take a few minutes and look at righteousness. In Psalm 106, verse 3, we find a blessing for those who are righteous. Psalm 106, verse 3 says, blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. Let's turn back to 1 John once again. Look at a couple of points on righteousness. In 1 John chapter 2, a little further down, we're going to go to verse 28. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Jesus Christ set the example for us in his life. He kept the commandments, not just to the letter of the law, but he kept them to the spiritual intent. So his thoughts, his attitudes were pure and righteous. Our lives need to be patterned after his. We need to be changing our thoughts, attitudes, and actions on a continual basis to conform with the pattern that he established. Our goal is to be clothed in white linen, representing true righteousness, that righteousness that comes from living godly lives. Just a little further down in 2 John 3, picking up verse 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. To be righteous, we have to be practicing righteousness. We must turn our lives to reflect that life that Jesus Christ lived. In 1 John 3, in verse 10 and 11, it says, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We are to put God's way of life to work. We can't just set it on the table and go by and look at it now and then. It needs to be used. It needs to be practiced. Let's go down to Ephesians 2. God, in his grace and his mercy, is working out his plan here on earth. We're looking forward to the fulfillment of this day when Jesus Christ will return. We still have some work to do in our lives. We need to let God do his will in every aspect of our lives. Ephesians 2, picking up in verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And in that ages that to come, he might show us exceedingly rich in his grace and his kindnesses toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has set us up and to establish faith as our lives. Faith plays an important part in the process of our repentance, of our overcoming, of our growing. How could we find the true God in this world today with so much information out there? It was an incredible work for God that he reached out to us to draw us to him. God is the one who drew us. God is the one who guides us in truth. He stirs our mind to seek his knowledge and wisdom. We gradually make changes in our lives, growing and overcoming, changing how we spend our time, keeping his Sabbaths. We change our finances. We start paying tithes. We change our friends. We change how we talk. We change what we do. We change what's important in our lives. God has his hand in drawing us to make these changes, but we have to continually work in that direction. Just as God freed Israel from Egypt, God has freed each one of us from our old ways of life. This is God working. It's his grace. It's his gift to us. God called and created us for good works, but the process takes time. Change is difficult, seldom takes place overnight, but it takes a lot of work. We have to submit to God, willing to serve, willing to do what God requires of us. God has created everything, and today he's still creating. He's creating sons and daughters to be in his kingdom. He's creating holy, righteous offspring. We all remember the parable of the wise and foolish virgins in Matthew 25. The lesson was that when the bridegroom came, they weren't all ready. Five of the virgins were ready. We find in Revelation 19 that the bride had made herself ready. We put the two pictures together, and then we learn that we have a responsibility. We need to be preparing. We need to be getting ready. So what are you doing with the time that we've been given? Do we focus our energy on growing and overcoming spiritually? Are we seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness? Is that what's first in our lives? Let's go to Luke 12 and consider how we should be preparing our lives. In Luke chapter 12, we pick up in verse 35, this message to the servants. Luke 12 and verse 35, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if we should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Let's drop down to verse 42 and look at some verses to the overseers. And the Lord said, who then is faithful and a wise steward? Who his master will make rule over his household to give them their portion of food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if the servant said in his heart, my master delays his coming and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will be beaten with many stripes. We are expected to be ready when Jesus Christ returns. We don't know when it will be. We don't know when our opportunity to change and grow may come to an end. But life has some interesting things that it offers us. It teaches us a lot of things that we can grow and learn lessons from. But if we're committing our lives to God, we can rest assured we'll be according to God's will and to his purpose. That's why it's important for us to build faith, to seek God's righteousness, to be working on our lives continually. To whom much is given, much will be required. We've been given some amazing blessings. We live in a time when we have God's written word that's readily available in multiple translations. To have God's word made clear to us, largely through that work that Mr. Armstrong started, but that being God that opened that up and made it available, we have the opportunity to fellowship with God on a regular basis. We have direct access to God. We can come and bring our trials and troubles and difficulties and needs before him. We've been blessed incredibly, but what comes with those blessings is a responsibility to produce fruit, spiritual fruit. This takes work. Righteousness requires faith. We must submit to God, to his will, and to his purpose. Let's go back to Revelation 19 once again. We'll just read the last few verses and we'll add something to it in Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice. Give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Be glad and rejoice. This will be an incredible time. But we need to be making ourselves ready. Ready for that wedding. And in conclusion, I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 11 through 13. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. May that day come soon.